Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
What's up, Paris?
Nah, not much, man. Once again, CD Projekt Red has done the impossible. Oh. Cloud saves on the Nintendo Switch. Dude, I've been testing it all morning. So not only can I pull my old, like, dude, I have saves that go all the way back to 2015. Not only can I pull those onto the Switch, I tested it out. If you save on the Switch and then go back on the PC, those saves are there too. So it goes both ways.
Wow.
Yeah.
How big was the file update, the one that you have to download for the Switch? Was it a big file?
I'm not sure because my Switch auto updated overnight or something. I literally picked it up this morning. It was already updated.
Okay. So once you download it, did you have to like log into your account?
Yeah. So the way it happens is, you know, you'll fire up the Witcher on the Switch, and then you'll see a option that says cloud saves. So then you go into that, and then it'll say Steam or GOG. And then I selected GOG, and then it prompted me to log into GOG. I had to do two-factor authentication, the whole thing. And then once I'm logged in, it shows all my saves there. Nice. So like, matter of fact, if someone goes to my Twitter account, they can find it, because I took a screenshot of it so you can see it. But I even did like a little quick little video of me loading up the cloud saves, and yeah, CD Projekt Red saw it. They retweeted it too and everything. So
that's good.
Pretty cool.
That's really cool. Now, speaking of CD Projekt Red, Paris, what's up with this NVIDIA stuff, man? People were mentioning your name. I mean, I gave you a shout out too for the RTX, right? For the from NVIDIA.
So this is crazy. This is actually very crazy. It's humbling in a way. Like I had an emotional moment the other day over this. So to set it up, CD, and this started on a Sunday. It was so funny because I see the official Cyberpunk account tweet, and then NVIDIA responds to them about, like, they said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we had like a custom video card? And then NVIDIA responds like, like that. And then they tease the image. And then Monday, the official video came out from NVIDIA. So, What it is they make 200 custom Cyberpunk 2077 2080 Ti cards, and then 77 of them they were giving away via social media. You had to, you know, retweet, tag a person in there, and use hashtag RTX on. So of course I saw it. So of course I did it. Like I tagged Peter or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like ha ha, funny, dude. And I don't know what it is now, but at one point I had someone from NVIDIA straight up tell me I was the most tagged person in the world.
That is crazy.
At one point.
That is
insane. Insane. Oof. And it all comes back to Cyberpunk. It all comes back to E3 2018. You've taken that video. Obviously, we followed up with it in 2019. Gamescom just... I've clearly made it very known how I feel about the game and how excited I am about it. And to see so many people unprompted say, when I saw this, first person I thought of was you. You've been a great ambassador towards this game, and just, you know, obviously with GTR. And I was like I'm seeing just all these comments just come in. And yeah, man, I had a moment. I had a moment seeing that, to see that many people across the world like say that. What can I say? Wow. Yeah,
and that's pretty cool.
Look, if I win the card, great. I'm be selfish. I want the card. I ain't gonna lie. I want it. But if I don't get it, I understand why, because I mean, clearly I don't need it. You know, there's people out there in the community that obviously could use the card and all that. I mean, I love Cyberpunk. It would be an awesome collector's item for me because I'm building a new PC. What better way to display that new PC with like this custom Cyberpunk build? And I got like the custom card in there and all that kind of stuff. So look, I'm 100% selfish. Yes, I do want it, but hey, I hope I look forward to people in the community being able to get this thing, man, because it looks pretty slick. And it's just going to be an awesome collector's item for anyone that's able to get it. So, like I said, they're doing 77 on social media. They made 200 total, and they're going to be giving away others and other means. They're going to be doing charity auctions with them, all that kind of stuff. So, pretty cool thing they're doing.
Yeah, man, that's pretty cool, man. Shout out to everybody that they give you a shout out, man. Everybody from the gaming community, man. Really, really cool, man. So, yeah. Couple of things. So there's the rumor that Xbox might have their reveal in April or May.
Yeah, I've seen some rumblings about that, that they might do just the full on Series X hardware reveal before E3, but which it's logical, because if you think about it, go back to 2013, they did the same thing.
Yeah.
In 2013 with Xbox One, and they got mocked for it because it was all TV, 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 sports and all that nonsense. But I'm sure they've learned their lesson since then, and they'll focus more on the actual hardware, the specs, and, you know, probably have some game demos of just the cool technology that the Series X will be able to pull off, things like that. So it makes a lot of sense. I would also say I fully expect PlayStation to do something similar,
yeah,
as well.
And actually, if you go back to 2005, I believe it was around April or May that the Xbox 360 reveal was like that too, but it was through MTV.
And yeah.
They had that. They had the MTV version, right? And, you know,
one of the most famous moments of GTR.
Yeah. Long history on that one.
I remember, dude, I just pausing on that. I remember you talking about that you did that, and you had posted on Team Xbox on the forums. And, dude, I was scrambling. I was just waiting. I had to get it because I had to listen to it. I remember I got to listen to that before it got pulled.
Well, but you know what? People probably, they're new, they're listening to this. They're like, what in the world Paris is talking about? So very quick, I did an interview with a couple people that went to the event, because it was recorded, and it was going to, they were going to air it like a week after. So they recorded on Thursday night. I interviewed them on Friday. I posted it up for only like an hour, the podcast episode. And I had to take it down because MTV and Microsoft wanted to surprise everybody for the TV version that was going to come out, right? So, yeah, that's what Paris is talking about. So he downloaded it before I took it down. I only had it up for like 60 minutes or less than that. So, but every other website had it. It was everywhere. They talked about like Perfect Dark Zero, Call of Duty, the features, everything. It was insane. But yeah, that would make sense, man, for them to have this around April, May. I think it's better May than April, because at least you have a couple weeks right before E3 and everybody's excited. You know what I'm trying to say? So it's like back-to-back type of conferences, instead of having an April, and then we have to wait like 2 months later, then the hype is going to go down. I don't know. I prefer back-to-back, in my opinion. Now, here's the thing. If we already know about the features, and probably we're going to see more about that during the reveal, I think if there's a lot of games, have some of them there and save the big surprises for E3. What do you think?
I would imagine, and again, because I'm trying to keep this completely unbiased, I imagine PlayStation does the same, where they're going to show, like, they'll show current games. Like, they'll show Gears 5 as an example running on Series X, and how much better it looks on Series X, and how quick, faster it loads and things like that. Maybe it gets, again, I'm just sticking on Gears 5. Gears 5 gets the quote-unquote Series X enhancement, and now it can do RTX as an example, right? They show that off just to give people, you know, a hint of, hey, this is how powerful this thing is. Like, they'll be like, here's Gears 5 running in native 4K, 60 frames per second, RTX, HDR, like the whole thing. Look how quickly it's loading, you know, from you know, initial boot up to you're actually in the game, all that. And then I would imagine PlayStation does the same thing with like Spider-Man as an example, right? Or Horizon Zero Dawn, just to show it off, or God of War, to say, look how quickly it's loading. Look, we've added RTX to it, and, you know, all that stuff. It would make sense to do that, so you get the hardware reveals out of the way, so that when, and obviously in the case of Xbox, when they go to E3, like I said last episode, just kick show off with Halo Infinite. Boom, done.
Yeah.
Bam. Get everyone hyped. Just show all these games. Show the future games that aren't even coming in the launch window. Like, they can tease Perfect Dark or Fable, all this stuff. You know what I mean? To me, that's the smarter play. And then you end the show and say, and Series X is $4.99 and it comes out November 10th, 2020 or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Phil, they said they're making bold moves. Now, could that mean we might see some changes for the reveal? Meaning, like, more game announcements, and then, of course, they're going to have a lot, way more at during E3. But I'm talking about, like, during the reveal.
No, that's what I'm saying. Why that wouldn't make sense, in my opinion, to give away game reveals before E3. You make E3 about your game reveals.
Yeah. No, I'm but remember, if you go back to 2013 Paris, they had, I think, one or two announcements of just games. Overall, they were talking about the console. But there were a couple announcements during that time, too.
No, if you go back and watch that, it was, they had EA come on, and they were talking about EA sports games, like FIFA and Madden, stuff like that. But an actual first-party Xbox game, they didn't reveal anything at that point. Because remember, we had Aaron Greenberg on after that, and he even talked about E3 is all about games.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, it was what, Metal Gear 5? Witcher 3, and then that Black Tusk game that's now the Coalition that never happened. They were showing off stuff like that. You know, they teased Halo 5 at that time, you know, in 2013. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they showed Forza, stuff like that. But yeah, that's what E3 2013 was all about. And then look, and then they crushed everyone's dreams and said it was $500. Everyone was like, oh,
yep. Step right there. Everybody was like, no. But now, again, I'm going to take it back to 2005 Paris. During the reveal of the 360, they did announce a bunch of games, and they showed at E3 too. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like, yes, look, it makes sense.
I know. And I'm just disagreeing with you, because I don't think – I get that they did that in 2005. They didn't do it in 2013, so I don't think they're going to do that in 2020. That's all I'm saying.
The reason why I'm saying this is because – if you go back to the Video Game Awards, they show Hellblade. They show a little bit about the console, you know, and Phil went on stage and talked about it. So it's possible that we might see that now. Now, if they do announce this, what about a new studio? Is that possible too for the reveal?
I think so. If you read between the lines of what Phil was saying when we talked to him, they're going to have a Japanese studio.
Yes, and I wonder who it is.
Yeah, they've acquired a Japanese studio. Again, I don't think it ain't Sega or Capcom, anything big like that. But I think a mid-tier studio, Japanese studio. I do think they worked that deal. Look, he didn't go over there just to say hi to his buddies at Sega or whoever.
Yeah.
He went over there for business. Clearly, I mean, he got on a plane. He was over there for like a week or something, right?
Yeah.
That was a business trip. They were making an acquisition.
Remember,
if I had to guess.
Remember, he tweeted the announcement that he was going to be on our show while he was in Japan, like that week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
Now, speaking about Japan, Paris, should I talk about my theory? But I told you that you were like, make kind of sense. Should I talk about it or no?
Yeah, go all for right. it.
So this is what I – look, if you go back to the history of the original Xbox, Xbox 360, and so on, Xbox and Sega always had like this close relationship. Even when the Dreamcast was going to get shut down, I remember Bill Gates, he was in Tokyo Game Show and had an announcement of games that was coming out for the original Xbox. He mentioned Jet Set Radio Future, Panzer Dragoon, and a couple other games that I can't quite remember at that time. I think Sega GT. Right? So, Shenmue 2. Now, after that, of course, we still got to see, you know, with Sonic and all these games, right? So, I think, I'm not saying that Microsoft is going to acquire Sega, but it is possible that we might see some type of relationship exactly like how it is with Nintendo with Bayonetta, because that's a Sega game. Developed by Platinum Games, right? So, again, what if, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but what if we might see an exclusive game funded by Xbox published by Microsoft Studios, Game Studios, but it's a Sega title. And my theory is the return of Jet Set Radio. And the reason why I'm saying that is because sometime last year, Sega, you know, been having a couple events in Japan, and they also had a pool of franchises that people vote to see which one they should bring back. And the number one game that people voted was Jet Set Radio. And the last game, Jet Set Radio Future, that was also funded by Xbox. So it is possible, again, this is a what if, it is possible that that game might come back again for the next gen console. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because if you closely listen to the interview with Phil Spencer, he was on our show, he out of nowhere started talking a lot about Sega. Forget about Phantasy Star Online. Yeah, he mentioned that. But I think it's more than just that, man. Because if you think about it, that game is the most requested game from Sega fans. It was also published before from Microsoft. And it could come back again. And the game was awesome. The first one and the second one were both great games. Now, do you think that makes sense, Paris? Do you think it's possible that we might see something like that? Now, I'm not saying that Microsoft is going to acquire them. I'm not saying that. Just want to let people know. But fund a game like that to be an Xbox exclusive, because why would Phil mention so many times on our show about Sega? I think it's just more than Phantasy Star Online too, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly a close relationship going on there, and he made a big emphasis about Phantasy Star, which, again, remember, that was on their stage at E3 this year, so that partnership's been in place for a while.
Yeah.
Do I think it's possible that, you know, they do some kind of exclusive title published by Microsoft Studios, but Sega makes it? Absolutely. Why not? Man, if anything,
yeah,
I could see with – it's funny because I went and saw the Sonic movie with the kids this weekend, which just kind of just reminded me of the legacy of Sega.
Mm-hmm.
We're due for a new Sonic game, and I could see – and again, this is pure speculation, just speculating where, yeah, maybe Sega partners up with Microsoft on some specific title to have exclusive there, which helps them then fund a full-on next-gen Sonic game that they bring to all platforms. I could see something like that for sure happening. Why not? Especially with the success of Sonic. There's no way Sega isn't going to bring that game back because it just makes too much sense. Clearly, there's going to be a Sonic sequel. They're going to want a game in there to be able to fill the gap before that next movie comes out. So,
yeah.
Why not? I mean, is it Jet Set Radio or whatever? Microsoft gets an exclusive thing? Hey, absolutely. It could be. Yeah. I don't think it's impossible. I mean, we obviously saw deals like this last gen where, like, Capcom, as an example, had Street Fighter 4. Microsoft had, what was it, Dead Rising? I guess it was
Dead Rising. Yeah, for Dead a Rising couple of Dead Rising. Yeah, a couple of Dead Rising games.
So I mean, there's clear precedent there. I mean, the generation started off with Titanfall from EA. You know, being a Xbox exclusive game at one point. So
yeah,
it could happen. It could happen. Definitely could see that. Especially if Microsoft is the one that's footing the bill. Even the first Tomb Raider was similar to that, right?
Yeah.
Microsoft was the publisher, and it was exclusive for what, the first year.
The first year.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see it. I can see that for sure.
Now, we've been talking a lot of Xbox, so I do want to shift the conversation into PlayStation.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because clearly we have no idea what they're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing. And now that the price, you know, we talked about this a little bit already. Now they leaked with Bloomberg with the price and all that. You know, how does that change their strategy at all? I mean, the coronavirus, believe it or not, plays a factor into this too. I'm just so curious to see what that reveal is going to look like when it happens and how they're going to market the new hardware and the games that come with it over the summer, because we just don't know. We just don't know. We're entering uncharted territory as far as that marketing goes. So it's like, yeah, Phil has been very vocal about Microsoft being bold and doing stuff like that. But if you think about it, PlayStation's being very bold too. They're not doing the traditional way. They're changing it up too. But yeah. we just don't know what their strategy is yet, because they've obviously been very tight-lipped on it. So yeah, I'm very curious to see. Again, my guess is they do a May event and to show off the hardware, similar to what we were just talking about with Xbox. And then I think they wait until after E3 to then do another one where they reveal all the games. Like if I had to guess, they do a state of play in May to just say, here's the PlayStation. You know, everything's pre-recorded. They can control the message. State of play. Here's the PlayStation 5 reveal. Here's Spider-Man and God of War running on the PlayStation 5. Look how good all the specs is, blah, 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 blah. E3 happens. Microsoft showing all their cards. Then they come behind that either late June or July, and they do an actual media event. And they say, here's all the games, blah, blah, blah. You know, the media gets hands-on with it. They do interviews at that time, and they drop the price. That would be my guess. And then Gamescom and PAX and the rest of all that leading up to launch, they can just have little mini events at those things. That's my guess for PlayStation.
But here's my guess, and I kind of agree with you, and there's a lot of things I don't agree with. One is I think they are going to have a review event because it's more than just media and the consumers. Remember, Paris, investors, man, they're going to be involved. They're going to be involved with this. So if they have like an event here in New York City, yeah, most likely it will be like April, May, right before E3, and then have a kind of state of play during the week of E3. Just show it there and show the games and all that stuff, right? PlayStation 5 games and all that, right? And then during the summer, or maybe right before the console launches, have a PlayStation experience and invite the consumers and, of course, media. Now, where are they going to have it at? It could be West Coast, East Coast, who knows? Maybe multiple places, who knows? But I think it is possible that's the vision that I see. That makes sense, because you can't just have a review on video and just have it like that and then have like an event like PlayStation Experience that months later. It just doesn't make sense, because you need the media, like major media. Forget about gaming media, because they're gonna be around no matter what. But you need the CNNs, you need the MSNBCs, you know, Bloomberg, all those websites and TV. Media outlets that they're also going to be attending and watching this, man, because if you think about it too, Paris, this is the number one division that's making the most money for Sony, more than TV, more than phones, more than any other devices. Gaming is the one that's they've been successful in that.
I will respectfully disagree with some of your points, but hey, we don't know. That's the fascinating thing about this.
Yep.
Who knows? Who knows? You could be 100% spot on, or you could be 100% off. We don't know. Yeah. I will just simply say what I disagree with you on is that they need the media to reveal it. I disagree. I think they can easily do a state of play to reveal it. Because guess what? CNN, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, every video game blog, we're all going to talk about it no matter what. So the message still gets out there. Now, I do agree, when they actually want people to go hands-on and all that, of course the media is going to be there. Of course they're going to have a hands-on event, be it PlayStation Experience or whatever, when they announce the price and all that. I do think the media needs to be there. But the initial reveal of the hardware to say, this is PlayStation 5, I don't think the media needs to be there at all. But I could be wrong. That's why I'm so excited to see how all this plays out. This is going to be the most fascinating console launch year of all time, because we're completely clueless as to how it's going to happen. And the way that social media is involved now, the way that streamers, influencers, media, all this stuff, it's like this is the culmination all coming together in one year. How are these companies going to leverage these different platforms to get their message out? And obviously the price is going to be very key on both pieces of hardware, what games you're going to have at launch, things like that. So I'm excited. I'm just, as a gamer, I'm just excited to see how all this stuff plays out.
Yeah, definitely. Now, before I mention the next thing, I also agree why there's going to be a review event. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Nintendo. They're known for Nintendo Direct, not having that many press conferences or anything like that, right? But when they revealed the Nintendo Switch. There was an official press conference with media from all around the world in Tokyo at the event. So if you're revealing an expensive console, something totally new, forget about the games, but just the hardware, you need that type of buzz of media, Paris. Nintendo did it, and it worked for them.
And again, I think we can respectfully disagree. I don't agree.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We'll see who's right and who's wrong.
We'll see. Remember, everybody, just let us know who's right, who's wrong once everything goes down. Now, I'm going to mention where I'm going. So I'm going in a couple of days. I'm going to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Never been there in my life, ever. But the reason why I'm going there is because GameStop invited me for a private event. We have never been to any of their events in the past, ever. And this is going to be very, very, very interesting. They're going to show me, not only me, but everybody that got invited, the media, and so on. We're going to get to see the changes that they're making within the company, man, the retail. So I'm planning to record some stuff, some interviews, and my feedback, just overall about the event and the changes that they're going to show us, the future about the company. So we're definitely going to have it here on Gamertag Radio. But I'm excited because it's something new and different. We've never had this type of relationship with GameStop. And I think now, I was talking this to Paris the other day, that retail is hurting big time and they need to evolve, they need to make some changes that is going to bring the gamers to their store, right? So here in New York, there's a couple of LAN places that I've been attending a lot. Like, I'm going always to like their events, they always have tournaments, and there's always gamers there, man, all the time competing or just meetups and so on. So by GameStop making these changes, man, like having, you know, changes like supposedly they're going to have like retro and maybe LAN and all this stuff. Doing that, I think it's good because it will bring the gamers to the location and, you know, it will let them go get out of the house and check out what's going on and do meetups and all that stuff, you know. So, and I hope there's something that where content creators also could go to like a place like that and maybe stream from the store. That's even possible too, you know. So I'll find out in a couple of days. I have no idea what they're gonna show me, but right. That's my theory, what I think we might see at the event. But I'll talk about it more once I'm there, man. So, but what you think about that, Paris, of just the changes that GameStop is doing? And we've been hearing about this for quite some time now online.
They have to do it. I mean, because clearly the retail brick and mortar market is drying up for gaming. There's just simply no reason to walk into a store anymore. So they need to obviously change their strategy and change their business model to get more foot traffic in the store. So yeah, I'm very curious to see what they're going to show you and how this is going to work out. I mean, look, let's just be real here. It's not looking good. So
yeah,
they got to do something.
Yeah, no, but it's good that they're having something like this, man. So I'll keep you posted about everything, man. So anything else, Paris? Anything else?
So by the time people hear this, I will have already done it, but I'm going on IGN later today for a podcast Unlocked. So cue all the angry PlayStation fans at me already. But yeah, more Xbox stuff. But yeah, they invited me to come on podcast Unlocked. Ryan McCaffrey's out on an assignment, so Destin McGarry's hosting, and he asked me to be his co-host. So I'm coming on co-host podcast Unlocked. I'm sure we'll talk about the Phil Spencer interview and GTR 1000, and then just everything else Xbox. So other than that, I have absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about. So it should be fun. But if you're listening to this podcast, should be out, and I know they do it on video, so it should also be on IGN.com and on YouTube as well, video.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to check that out, man. So, yeah, man, this Phil interview is going around still, man, still to this day. Now, I'll mention this is one of the top shows that we've done ever since joining Audio Boom. And it's doing really, really good. And it's still getting downloads, man. So keep it up, everybody, man. Spread the word, share it. And thanks for everybody for listening, man. That was a pretty cool moment, man, for us, man. So. Anything else, Paris? That's it? We're good?
I think that's it. Yeah. Well, I did confirm. I won't say where yet, but I will be traveling internationally here soon. And I will, when I'm allowed to talk about it, I'll let people know why. But it's another good thing. I mean, just it has been absolutely insane the past couple of years. Just all the opportunities that have been coming to GTR. So
yeah.
Again, just blessed, man. Just blessed. Just blessed and thankful for everyone that listens and has been supporting us. Also, I don't think I talked about this on the last episode. I actually have an extended video look of me playing Halo Reach on the iPad Pro on my YouTube channel as well. If anyone's curious about that, with Project X Cloud, they want to check it out. So
definitely, man. I can't wait when they start adding more games, man, to the iOS version.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, thank you for listening to episode 1003. But first, let's talk about a sponsor for this episode. It's Netgear. Is your Wi-Fi feeling old? Does it buffer while streaming? Does connecting new devices slow it down? Can it handle gaming, video calls, large file transfers? And what happens when you try to do it all at once? It doesn't matter how fast your internet connection is, if your Wi-Fi router is old and outdated, with Orbi Wi-Fi 6 from Netgear, your Wi-Fi will feel new again. Wi-Fi 6 is the latest tech that allows more devices to connect and stream simultaneously without impacting speed reliability. The results delivers the fastest Wi-Fi for all of your devices anywhere in your home. Stream in HD, 4K, or even 8K without buffering. Eliminate lag while gaming and connect more devices to your Wi-Fi than ever before. Orbi Wi-Fi 6 is like upgrading your Wi-Fi to first class. If you're ready for Netgear's best Wi-Fi ever, you can get it today from Netgear and never worry about Wi-Fi again. Check out Orbi Wi-Fi 6 at your local Best Buy or at netgear.com/best Wi-Fi. That's netgear.com/best Wi-Fi. We thank Netgear for sponsoring Gamer Tag Radio.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
The way Apple works, though, is just very limiting. So I kind of get why it's only the Master Chief Collection now. I would assume at some point they'll add a few more. And then my best guess now is E3. They come out of beta. I would hope they come out of beta. Maybe they don't, but we'll see.
Oh,
but the tech's working.
You know what? Very quick before we wrap it up, Paris. So there was a really cool article where Windows Central talks about the partnership with Microsoft and Samsung. I don't know if you got to see that, but we've been talking about this for a while. Because they announced this during their Samsung Galaxy reveal of the new phone that's coming out.
Yeah.
But Paris, we've been talking about this. It's beyond phones. Beyond phones. We're going to see this on their smart TVs too. That's for sure. That we're going to see.
Oh, 100%. It's going to be baked into Samsung TVs. That's, of course, that's just part of the partnership. And then obviously in their mobile devices as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty huge. Very, very huge. Yeah. And remember, that's a Korean company. So that's going to be a huge, huge thing for South Korea. Huge.
Yeah. South Korea is going to be huge. Speaking of cloud gaming, Stadia has finally started adding more phones. Speaking of Samsung.
Yes.
One of the ones.
Yeah.
So good.
And also, non Samsung phones too.
Yeah, like I think Asus phone. I forget the exact list, but yeah, it's more phones. It's not all Android phones yet, but hey, this is a start. And then again, Stadia sorely needs to also get on iOS as well, because that'll be big for them. Because again, I'm telling you, now that I have this iPad Pro and I've been messing around with the Bluetooth controller and all that, that screen is tailor made for this cloud streaming stuff on the go, if you obviously got the internet connection to pull it off, because it's perfect for it. I love it. I love playing on it. It's just like I'm sitting here playing on a mini console.
Yeah.
You know? Works great.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, everybody, head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Hit us up, you know, on Twitter. Follow me, Godfrey, or follow Paris Vicious 696. Also, join our Discord channel. Here's the URL, so you can join totally free. You can use your phone, your computer, tablet. Go to discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. And here's how you can contact us to be part of Fan Mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening. This was episode 1003, Daily Conversations with Danny in Paris. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.